Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Peggy, let's hit him big time.
Because it's Friday, you ain't got no job, and you ain't got shit to do.
Houston, let's get in the loop.
All the jokes are coming fast and furious every time y'all talk about this guy.
With Landry Locker.
Landry, I mean, you're going to be in midday forever now.
And John Lopez.
On occasion, Lopez makes a statement that's so ludicrous, it makes me pick my phone up and call you guys.
You're in the loop on Houston's Sports Leader.
Your champ, 610.
Sports Radio 610.
TGIFNF. Cut the damn music. Cut the damn music. John Lopez, he is at a wedding today. So I am calling. I'm going old school WWF. I am calling anyone in the back at the Sports Radio 610 studios to bring your butt out here and prove yourself worthy of filling in for the OG. Any one of you people, come on. Brandon Scott in for the OG John Lopez. Happy Friday to you, mi amigo.
Man, I feel like I should come down the aisle doing like the South Side or something like that. You know what I mean?
That'd be dope.
Some early 2000s baggy clothes as a nod to when I came up. Yeah, man. This is it. Glad to be here on the TGIF. Thank God it's Friday, man. Shout out to Lopez, too, for going to the wedding so I can fall through.
And there's a lot going on around here. Obviously, the Astros doing what the Astros do. The attaboy, bases loaded clearing double yesterday from Martin Maldonado. You would have thought that he hit a walk-off grand slam.
He's proving these haters wrong.
To win the World Series. Martin Maldonado getting a big hit. And I think Todd Callis and Jeff Blum were the happiest guys this side of the Mississippi. You got 34 days till pick three for the Houston Rockets.
Can't wait.
And you got about 2 months from the start of training camp for the Texans, give or take a few days. They haven't announced the official date, but typically it's in late July.
But we got OTAs in a week, though.
We do.
So, or 10 days or so, something like that.
Very soon. And we got Nick Caserio coming on with Payne and Pendergast Monday morning at 7:30 a.m. So there's a lot going on around here. A lot of business to get to, but obviously yesterday, big news with local interest, of course, because we do like to localize it. 713-572-4610 if you want to get in. Jimbo Fisher versus Nick Saban. And I have a couple of things that have crossed my mind because I'm trying to bring this back locally. And I got a couple of things that have crossed my mind as we take in, observe, react to the pissing match between Jimbo and Saban. And there are two guys that I really, really wonder what they're thinking with all this going on. One of them, Bill O'Brien, Nick Saban's offensive coordinator. Now, the offensive coordinator doesn't really talk to the media. I think Bill O'Brien had two media availabilities last year. I wonder what Bill O'Brien thinks. And I also wonder what the owner of the Houston Rockets, who's a big part of U of H, probably the biggest part of U of H, Tillman Fertitta, I wonder what he thinks about all this NIL stuff as Houston creeps into the Big 12. If I could ask two guys for their opinion on this of local interest, what does BOB think and what does Tillman Fertitta think?
And Bill O'Brien, too, being the guy, like Nick Saban's current offensive coordinator. And one of the maybe a little underrated comments that Jimbo said was about how he didn't go back to work for Nick Saban. And you remember Saban offered him the offensive coordinator job at Alabama, I'm pretty sure. I mean, however many years ago that was. So, like, you now have the job, had to take a step down after being the worst general manager in NFL history, after being one of the worst NFL head coaches during your tenure, at least, in the NFL, and had to go back and become and take the job that Jimbo was saying, hey, here's the job that I didn't want to take, and here's why. Because this guy's a slime ball, basically. Like, I wonder how it feels to be that guy that Jimbo is basically saying I didn't want to be. I would never want to be.
It's not my job.
We did get an apology yesterday from Nick Saban, kind of. I mean, he said he shouldn't have mentioned anyone by name, and he went on to apologize.
Got a little too comfortable.
Yeah. He
stretched out a little bit.
He was in front of boosters. He was trying to get money. They were probably ticked off that A&M had the number one recruiting class. So, understandably so. Sometimes you say certain things in certain environments, and you don't realize that, oh, my God, this is going to be front and center. I don't think – had Nick Saban been – doing a national interview, I don't think he would have said what he said, but it got out, and now he's kind of backtracking.
What do you think is the possibility of him, like, not realizing that video was going to kind of go viral online? I mean, he's in there making news.
Pretty good.
Yeah, because he's in there making newspaper references. Oh, read it in the paper. We were just talking about that in the toss. Read about it in the paper. He's there comfortable in his element with these money people. Do you feel like maybe that wasn't going to get out there at all? Like, which obviously was a bad look, a bad idea.
Yeah, I mean, it didn't work out for him. I don't know that it's the worst thing for Saban. I don't think it's the worst thing for Jimbo Fisher. I think they can both benefit from this. I think college football benefits from this. I don't see any negative of this type of beef and this type of publicity, especially this far out from the season. We're like 4 months away from the season, and college football is the number one headline. Growing up, that doesn't happen, man. That doesn't happen. Like, you have recruiting. And that even got moderate attention. But here we are 4 months away from the start of the college football season, and that's getting headlines. I just don't see how that's bad. I think that's a great
thing. No, I think it's good for the sport overall, or just like the optics of it, or the interest in it, I should say. But I do think some of the things that they said could, like, in the long run, backfire on them, the way they're talking about buying players and kind of in some ways speaking against the idea that these players actually look out for themselves and try to get these deals, that they try to seek out where can they go and get the most money. Like, I don't know how that's going to play.
It's not going to matter. It's Nick Saban. It's Alabama.
I'm saying the idea of, hey, I want to go to a school that embraces this sort of thing, sort of this new age way of thinking. And to Nick Saban's credit, like, I think before he got into that, he did say some things that were positive that indicate he is, like, more so into this. But I mean, you can take these things out of context just the same way that Jimbo Fisher did, took Nick Saban's words and twisted them into we didn't break state laws and all this
Saban
other kind of stuff.
Clearly said it.
But I'm just saying, like, that is a thing that can
clearly
happen.
Clearly said they didn't.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, clearly said they didn't.
But then you open yourself up to, like, these, you know, the telephone game and people not listening to the full contents of your quotes, and I think it can kind of play a bad have a bad impact on you or reflection on you on the recruiting trip.
It's interesting you say that, because while I don't think Jimbo completely listened to everything Saban said, that actually happened with the quarterback of the Houston Texans, Davis Mills. Internet was going nuts yesterday. They were ticked off at Chris Sims. I got to tell you, and we'll go over this in 25 minutes. What resulted in some backlash for Chris Sims was actually one of the biggest, best, most encouraging endorsements that you will ever hear about Davis Mills. You'll hear that in 25 minutes. There might be some apologies. Nick Saban apologized. A lot of Texans fans, a lot of members of Mills Mania. You might need to apologize to Chris Sims, because if you're not excited about Davis Mills, I can promise you in 25 minutes, you will be. Landry Locker, B. Scott in for John Lopez, Figgy Fig holding it down, being the best in the world at what he do. You know what I would like to hear Nick Caserio asked on Monday at 7:30 a.m.? Because I do wonder about this. How much does this NIL come into, like, the evaluation of a prospect? And I'm not sitting here saying, like, oh, this guy made $5 million in college, he's off our board. But money does change people. I mean, I don't know what I would have been like had I been 18 years old and had a Lamborghini endorsement or something like that, like Bijan Robinson. Like, it does change people. Sometimes it speeds up your maturity. Hell, some guys are going to handle it perfectly, and it might actually be something to to think positively on. But I do wonder
if they handle it well. Yeah,
I do wonder like how much it comes into the evaluation, because I use COVID as an example. Like, it was hell for a lot of people in 2020. I couldn't imagine being a college student and going through a situation where there's COVID, there's uncertainty about whether you're going to play, all that type of stuff. Like when Kayvon Thibodeau was getting criticized, I was sympathetic towards the fact that this guy had an awesome freshman year. His sophomore year, they didn't even know if he was going to play. He was going through all the COVID stuff, all the stuff you see on social media, all that uncertainty, empty stadiums, etc. And he fell off a little bit. Like I would have factored that in when evaluating players from like freshman year to sophomore year to junior year. And I wonder if NIL comes into the evaluation with like a Nick Saban or like a Bryce Young or Will Anderson next year.
You know, I think that the part, like Nick Saban's actual point, probably speaks to how teams are going to evaluate. Like Nick Saban's overall point is, hey, it's cool that these players get a chance to make money. You know, they already have an opportunity to work in some cases. This gives them an opportunity to capitalize on what they already do for the school. But his point is, it shouldn't be like the motivating factor. This shouldn't be the thing that gets you to a school. You should be going to a place where you want to better yourself, where you want an opportunity to make the NFL. And, you know, like academics is also like this factor as well. And like, I don't really buy the virtue signaling of it all. Like, I kind of roll my eyes at it. But I do think that NFL teams, and the Texans I would include in that, would probably buy into that. Like, hey, we want somebody that was more focused on bettering their craft, being a better football player, trying to get to the NFL, as opposed to somebody that said, hey, I'm going to go to the highest bidder, whichever school said, hey, we'll get you the best NIL deal. Like, I could see just from a philosophical standpoint, and hey, what is this player all about? Like, all of the information that they talk about that goes beyond just football evaluation. I think this hurt Kayvon Thibodeau. It's a perfect example to bring up. Like, oh, is this guy too much involved and concerned with his brand as opposed to actually caring about football? Like, I think that is going to be a factor. And on the other side, maybe an even better point, like, how do they handle it? If they handle it well, we can feel like they're going to handle money well as a first-round pick. They might handle the second contract well if we end up doing that, or exercising fifth-year option, franchise tag, whatever, you know, what have you.
Yeah, and I'm not sitting here saying that you put that up there with, like, measurables and tape and stuff like that, but Nick Caserio is a big fan of information. He's a big fan of taking as much information as possible, and this is a major factor in college athletics. So I just wonder, like, how much do you factor that in? Not, oh, this guy got this much money, so he must – because you can go to the highest bidder and still focus on your craft.
Right.
You can do both things, but – it is something else to take, and maybe it actually, like, in a crazy way, and there's no exact science to it. Like maybe it actually makes these kids more prepared, for entering the NFL. Maybe it makes them more ready for all this stuff getting thrown at.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
So you could look at it that way, too.
Well, I also think that's the flaw in the fundamental logic and argument that Nick Saban is making here, because, like, you actually can have it both ways. You can look out for your best interest and see, where can I get the best NIL deal? And, like, the point I was making yesterday when I was on with you guys,
most of these schools are great opportunities for you if you go there and take advantage of it. So you can be doing both and say, hey, Texas A&M is an actual good school. I want to go there and I want to play football and make money.
In the spirit of Jimbo Fisher firing shots at Nick Saban, In the Loop with B. Scott in for John Lopez presents the best podium callouts in recent history round here next.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
Biggest potential Jimbo Saban-like beef round here. I got a list of four. Deshaun Watson versus the Texans. That goes without saying.
For sure.
Jalen Green versus Cade Cunningham.
Yeah. But more so.
More so the people. Yeah. The people. The Detroit versus Houston.
Yeah, yeah. It hurts that they only play each other twice a year, and neither one of them is going to be good.
Well, you heard what Motown Dave said. That's one of the faces of Detroit digital media. This is what Motown Dave had to say about Jalen Green as we talk about beefs. I don't think Rockets Twitter spent a lot of time on Bill Simmons, and I think they might have taken his
might have.
Well, they overdid it. But this right here, there ain't no overdoing this. I don't know why Motown Dave isn't getting the wrath that Bill Simmons got times a thousand. This is Motown Dave talking about Jalen Green.
Are you a hooper or a basketball player?
He's talking to Cade Cunningham, by the way.
No, hooper or basketball player?
I'm a gamer, man. I'm a player. I go.
Can I tell you what I think you are? Since you want to take the diplomatic route, I think you're a basketball player.
Basketball player? What's the difference, man?
It's a philosophical question. And to me, being a basketball player means you're a winner, and a hooper means that you're a loser. I think there are guys in your draft class that are hoopers, and they're going to be losers. And I think that there are guys who are basketball players, you, and they're going to be winners. To me, a basketball player is like Luka. You think LeBron. And you're going to be like, those are f***ing hoopers. Sure, but they're also anomalies because they're hybrids, right? Like I think Jalen's a hooper. But I think you're a basketball player because you're an all-encompassing thing.
Okay.
What?
All right.
Bro, what are you talking about, man?
Yeah.
That's bad.
That's one of the guys that was never a hooper or a basketball player and is just trying to fit in, wants to be cool.
I don't even think you have to be, but that guy is an absolute dope. Astros versus everyone.
Ugh.
That's already exist. That's the beef.
It's a t-shirt already, even.
Houston versus everyone. Shout out to Apollo Houston. For that. So you have that. And then Brian Cashman versus Jim Crane, as we talk about Jimbo Saban-like beefs.
That one is actually a very similar, I feel like. I know that Cashman is the GM and that Crane is the owner, but, I mean, relatively speaking, that's a pretty, probably the closest and most similar, because it doesn't involve players. It involves, like, front office, and these are two coaches, which is basically the front office of a college football team.
The Jimbo call-out of Saban had the internet going nuts. In the spirit of that, the five best podium/interview-setting call-outs in recent Houston sports history. And B. Scott was a big part of one of them.
Yes, sir.
Really the top one. So we'll give you that in a sec. But let's start with number five.
Number five.
He wasn't here long, but he's really the only guy that has stuck his coconuts on the table and called out the Turdish acts of James Harden. Boogie Cousins, not going to end up in the Rockets Hall of Fame, but when it comes to call-outs, he's number five.
Obviously, it's disrespectful. We feel a certain type of way about some of his actions. The disrespect started way before just the approach to training camp. Showing up the way he did, the antics off the court. I mean, the disrespect started way before. So this isn't something that all of a sudden happened, you know, last night.
Boogie Cousins calling out James Harden.
Hey, wasn't even here for a full season and is a Rockets, I'm not going to say legend, but a hero at least.
You're going to use the L word there? Is that
what you're doing? No, we're not going to misuse legend, but hero. Hero in that moment, like. Not all heroes wear capes, and here comes DeMarcus Cousins saying what need to be said. Like you said, nobody has called James Harden out on that way. You even had recently Patrick Beverley saying the dude needs a max contract. Like, you've never heard a teammate actually say what needed to be said about dude.
Some heroes wear tights and capes. Others wear resting bitch face and headbands. DeMarcus Cousins, number five.
Numero cuatro.
Jalen Ramsey calls out Bill O'Brien. 2017 season opener. I believe it was Spo. Adam Spillane.
I kind of forgot about that.
As Deshaun Watson came in and relieved Tom Savage in the second half, never gave the position back. Jalen Ramsey asked, what he thought Deshaun Watson brought the Texans, and he calls out Bill O'Brien in the number four best call out in recent sports history in Houston.
Come on, man. Deshaun should have been starting the whole game. Come on, now. Come on, man.
So what did you see from Watson when he was
here? I think he's, personally, I think he's, he gives them a better chance.
What is the coach thinking?
He was so
what is
offended.
That dude over there doing?
That was so great.
Now, he's also, you know, Team Mulugeta, Watson camp, so there's part of it. But
he also has common sense.
Oh, and he's dead ass right. So, yeah.
Número tres.
Tillman Fertitta. Most of these are like one person calling out another person. This is Tillman Fertitta, not once but twice, calling out his whole damn team. James Harden, Chris Paul. Nobody off limits. This is Tillman Fertitta. This probably could have been higher up on the list because this is the most fire. The number three call out in recent Houston sports history, the billionaire versus the entire squad.
I'm a fighter. That's my culture. And I think the longer that I own this team, they're going to pick up more of my culture is that we had them. We should have stepped on their throat the other night and cut their throat, okay? It's step on their throat. Let's take it back to Houston and end it in six. We'll pick up a few Tillmanisms along the way. And they came to our home court, and they kicked our ass, and that's just the way it is. They outscored us by 10 points in the fourth quarter. They won, they're the champions, and we lost.
Is it any more painful because it's in your backyard?
Hell yeah, it's more painful. They kicked our ass in our home court. They beat us by 10 points in the fourth quarter. It's unacceptable.
Tillman Fertitta.
Could you imagine Cal McNair talking like that? The answer's no, by the way.
No. But no, they're not built the same. I can right. imagine Hannah.
Yeah, oh, that's a good point.
Yeah.
That's a good point. I would Hannah. Actually like to see that.
Hannah's got some fire. She's been doing a very good job, too.
But don't want to see what prompted that, and that was the Rockets absolutely choking. There was actually an example of Tillman Fertitta just speaking the damn truth.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people appreciated that.
Yes.
Número dos.
Carlos Correa, combo. Cody Bellinger said what he said about the Astros, and then that Ryan Tepp, whatever the hell his name was, he tried to call him. It's oh, Tepper. Yeah, I know. Tepper, yeah. I know. I'm just. It's a bit. It's a bit. Yeah, yeah. I know his name.
And he's from here, and he's no longer allowed. Here's in his own city.
The Carlos Correa combo, number two best callouts in recent Houston sports history.
I mean, he either doesn't know how to read, is really bad at reading comprehension, or he's just not informed at all. If you don't know the facts, if you're not informed, Cody Bellinger's job is to look for information, get informed, know the facts for sure, before he stands in front of cameras to talk about other players. You should get informed. You should be informed before you talk about other players. If you don't know the facts, then you got to shut the
Disrespectful words with no facts, with nothing to say. We score six runs at home. Then we score, nine, and then we score six again here. They just happened to score 12. And then you look at our OPS on the road, what's the best in all the big leagues throughout a 162-game season, which we play 81 on the road. Their OPS was a lot higher at home than it was on the road. So, just another kid that needs to know the facts or, what else needs to do.
All right, there you go. Carlos Correa, number two.
And him knowing that, what else they need to do, knowing that that's like a trademark drop and quote was great.
Perfect. Know the facts. Shut the bleep up.
Número uno.
Brandon Scott, you got this one going. You're at every press conference in town. J.J. Watt, after Bill O'Brien was fired, a plea to the entire organization, really a message to the entire city. Number one on the best recent callouts, J.J. Watt calls out the Texans organization as a whole, a plea.
Could you just speak more to that, the importance of, I guess, whatever you guys end up doing in the future, that how important it is that it aligns with Deshaun and his skill sets and just the things that he does well?
Yeah. I mean, Deshaun Watson's an incredible quarterback. He's the face of this franchise. He's the future of this team and this city. So we have to do whatever we possibly can to make sure that he's in the best position to have success and to lead this place to success, not only this year, not only next year, but for the next 10 years.
Yikes.
And so whatever it takes to give him all the tools he needs to be successful in order to be and flourish and build into the best possible version of himself he can be, that's what we need to do.
Didn't happen. Spoiler Yikes. Alert. Didn't happen.
That aged like spoiled milk, man. Like milk, man.
We know what they should have done.
Yikes.
Still lingering, Figgy. Still lingering. Still there.
Man, that is. That is a rough listen.
That's awesome. Yeah, that's awesome.
Not awesome. You're here. Not good.
Yeah.
Landry Locker, B. Scott in for John Lopez. Figgy Fig being the best of the world at what he do. Coming up, a headline that had Mills Mania in an uproar was actually the best breakdown and biggest endorsement of Davis Mills there has been up to this point. You do not want to miss what was said about Davis Mills that led to the internet going nuts. That's next.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Oh, it's such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
We're making the stories from outside the loop matter to you. This is Localize It. Presented by Flying Saucer Draft Emporium. You're in the loop on Houston's sports leader. Sports Radio 610.
It's the most important position in sports. It's a sensitive topic around here, the quarterback. Thought we had one. He gone. He in Cleveland. And now the attention is on Davis Mills. Landry Locker, Brandon Scott in for John Lopez. Figgy Fig holding it down, being the best in the world at what he do. And the uncertainty about the quarterback position continues for the Houston Texans. Davis Mills, he's going to get a chance to prove that he is the guy long term. Some are skeptical. Some believe that the Texans will have a new quarterback this time next season. Others are optimistic that Davis Mills can take the torch from Deshaun Watson and he can be the guy to be the face of the rebuild for Nick Caserio. Chris Sims put out of NBC Sports, Chris Sims put out a list of his top quarterbacks. It's the top 40, and Davis Mills was number 35 on the list, which if you actually do the exercise, yesterday J-Lo had Mills at 30. So he had him five spots up, yeah. But naturally, because fans are passionate and because I think we're starving so much for a quarterback in this city, people looked at Chris Sims' list
And shout out to Chris Mills, man. Said, you keep saying Chris Mills.
Shout out to number 42, Chris Mills.
Well, because it's Chris Sims, Davis Mills, and then there is a Chris Mills. I see how it's happening.
Shout out to Chris Mills with the box cut, number 42. Why not? Playing the day, Cavs, doing his thing. Man. Shout out to him. But 35 had a lot of people up in arms because of the headline. And I think this is very similar to Jimbo Fisher's reaction to Nick Saban and really reactions as a whole. You look at the headline, you react. We got texts from Loopholes. Shout out to the Loopholes. If you listen, you are one. Chris Sims doesn't know crap about quarterbacks. What does he know? He's an idiot, blah, blah, blah. But when you click on the actual breakdown, the 10-minute breakdown of Davis Mills, what many people reacted to as slander from Chris Sims was actually, up to this point, I can only speak for myself, the most in-depth breakdown of Davis Mills that I've heard, and the biggest reason for optimism that I've heard in regards to Davis Mills potentially being the guy, not just this year, but moving forward.
Like Joe Burrow did last year to throw the ball harder and stronger, Davis Mills can fix a few mechanics in his game to allow him to throw the ball a little more explosively too. His motion can get too long. I think it was one of the more pleasant surprises when I turned on the film. Yeah. I didn't expect to maybe even put him here. I wasn't sure where he was going to go. A few moments of playing good here and there, but then of course struggled too.
Yeah.
And it's, hey, he's a rookie and he was on not a very good team that couldn't run the ball.
That's the setup right there.
But so to be fair to everyone who overreacted, though, I just want to say,
okay, here we go.
32 teams, he's the starter on one of them, so the math wasn't mathing for people on the rankings. And you can question some of the ones that are ranked ahead of Mills, but that's just getting into the semantics of the rankings. I agree. This evaluation is not indicative of, hey, Davis Mills sucks. It's actually the opposite.
You're going to love this. 713-572-4610. Text line already blowing up. People got strong takes on Chris Sims and Davis Mills. Here's the breakdown of the positive that Chris Sims saw when he broke down Davis Mills. Here's the positive breakdown courtesy of NBC Sports.
He came back a different player.
Stats say it.
The stats say it. The film says it. He came back more confident and sure of himself. He's got some ability in his game more than I gave him credit for, I think, coming out of Stanford, and maybe more than I gave him credit even at the end of the season last year.
Yeah.
So when I did turn him back on, hey, the first thing is he knows how to play in the pocket. Yes, he understands going through reads. He can read a defense, make the appropriate decisions. So that gives him a great start there. He is good in the pocket. I mean, he plays big in the pocket, and probably the number one shocking thing to me. Pocket presence, and even the ability to get out of the pocket
a little bit.
You're not going to go, oh my gosh, wow. If the pocket collapses or there's trouble, he's a good enough athlete to get out, run for a few yards, 5-10 yards, or, you know, make a throw on the run. He's not a thrower. He's a passer. He's more about timing and rhythm and anticipation and, oh, wait, I've repped this a lot, and in this coverage, I got to throw this appropriate type.
There you go. So that's the breakdown of the positive when he came back. The marbles, though, the coconuts, the toughness, the intangibles, that's where you really start to realize that Chris Sims dove deep into this. This is a breakdown of Davis Mills, for lack of a better term, balls and toughness, along with the talent that we already know that he possesses.
It's not huge talent, but it's good talent. His ability to play the position is pretty advanced for the age that he's at right now.
Yeah.
Doesn't care about getting hit, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
He will get hit in the big chest dude. And make throws. You know, oh, we got a 5-yard completion. Great. There was a 20-yard completion to be had. It's the NFL. It's hard to move the ball. I got to hit it. And he did do that. Yeah, early in the year, I think he was a little gun shy. He's not sure what he's seeing. He got out of, let me just be quarterback completion percentage.
Yeah.
And he started making plays and dictating the game himself with his own play at the end of the year and pushing the envelope a little bit. And yes, making throws down the field. Ooh, that's going to be a tight one. Oh, we got it in there. I mean, there was a lot of those moments. He is pretty natural at playing the position. And I think when you add that to the size of the ability to look down the field, subtle movement in the pocket and everything there, he does have great touch, and his arm is good enough to make all the throws. It's never going to be a wow arm, but it's a good arm.
Yeah, I love it. This is the most thorough and specific breakdown on Davis Mills. Some of those things that he mentioned, we've heard from like opposing players, even when he wasn't playing well.
Against Carolina.
Carolina.
I remember.
Was it Hassan Reddick?
Shaq. I think it was Shaq.
Yeah. Whoever it was.
Shaq,
I think it,
Thompson.
There you go. But it was Adam Spillane who actually got it. I was saying, hey, the most impressive thing about him was his toughness, and he was kind of staying in there and alive in the pocket. Like, we've heard a little bit of this, but this is probably the most comprehensive of a breakdown that we've heard. So, You gotta be optimistic about that type of evaluation of the quarterback, especially when you're really only talking about four games, five games. Yeah. The comeback that he's talking about, like, let's be honest. It's the Seattle game, it's Jacksonville, it's the Chargers win, which was probably the highlight of the season, and then it's really the last game against Tennessee. There's that San Francisco game sandwiched in between there.
I thought he was best in the first half against New England.
That's probably fair.
First half against New England, the fourth down pass to Moore and the big lead that they jumped off to. I thought he was best against New England first half.
I thought he was best. I thought the most potential. I thought he was most probably like consistent that first half against Seattle. Like they weren't all like exceptionally difficult passes, but he completed like his first 13 or 14 passes. Like, that's when it was like, okay, there might be something there, especially coming off like that horrible, you know, kind of getting thrown in there in Indianapolis, or at home against Indianapolis the week before. So, yeah, I mean, between that game and probably the worst example of the Texans last year was not winning that game, wasted a really good Davis Mills performance and a good overall team performance because of coaching. Yeah, I mean, there's some things to like about Davis Mills for sure.
Here's Chris Sims, NBC Sports. That's a hell of an endorsement, a hell of a breakdown. That's a tangible breakdown with no buzzwords, no cliches. Like, that's a guy who actually, I think, watched the tape.
And
isn't just like someone on NFL Live, you know, just throwing out buzzwords and stuff like that. Like, that's actual. He watched Davis Mills, you can tell.
And can we also not do this thing that I'm seeing on the text line about Chris Sims wasn't a good enough quarterback? Like, Chris Sims is good enough at evaluating tape to evaluate Davis Mills. Let's not do the thing of this quarterback wasn't good enough. Because we listen to probably lesser quarterbacks than Chris Sims evaluate
Dan
guys.
Orlowski.
Yeah, I'm saying.
That, yeah.
And we go with it. So yeah. Let's not do that.
And especially when he's saying this type of thing. So it kind of works both ways. I trust Chris Sims' assessment of quarterbacks. Now, is rolling the dice with Davis Mills, is it worth it? Should the Texans have, you know, maybe traded for Jimmy Garoppolo, traded for Baker Mayfield, maybe looked at a rookie quarterback? Like, was it worth it? Here's Chris Sims, NBC Sports, breaking that down.
I know he's a nerd and he works hard and he's all into the craft. And,
yeah.
And again, me knowing the jumps that guys make from year one to year two, I can understand why they want to go with him. You know, Nick Caserio's looking at it like he might have hit the diamond in the rough. And I think he deserves that shot. And I think, you know, he's another guy. He can definitely be above this next year. There's no doubt.
The timing of this just worked out perfectly, too, for the Texans, though.
Because there was no quarterback.
There was no quarterback. Yeah. Your quarterback actually just happens to be better than all of the other quarterback prospects. You get a whole nother year of experimentation, and then you see what it looked like the next year. Perfect timing.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.
But will they be looking for a quarterback next year? This is the money shot from Chris Sims. And this, I don't know why this wasn't the headline instead of, you know, he's 35th on the list. This is where you really realize, like, the arrow is pointing up for Davis Mills, according to Chris Sims, and he believes this time next year we'll be talking about Davis Mills as the starting quarterback for the Houston Texans for the second straight year.
I think there is enough around him. I do. Yeah, I'm not sold that he's definitely the future yet. You know, their offensive line, it's not bad. Running back, got one of my favorites in Damian Pierce this year. But after I studied it a little bit, I went, my heart of heart, kind of my gut kind of said, I think he's going to be the quarterback for maybe more than just the year.
Yeah.
Or at least a few more. And we'll see where it goes from there. Yeah.
All right, there you go. So Chris Sims is buying Davis Mills stock. He believes Davis Mills will be the starter for the Houston Texans next year, believes we won't be talking about 35. He's going to climb up this list.
Yeah, and look, it's fair to have him low just because of the small sample size of what was good. Like, he's even 35 just based off of potential. He actually shows it and produces for an extended period of time. No reason why he can't shoot up the list. The thing I'm worried about is question y'all posed earlier in the week, like, what if he's just marginal Pro Bowl caliber? You know, what if he's Mac Jones? And then, like, do you kid yourself into or talk yourself out of going to go get that quarterback? Can you hedge your bet and keep Davis Mills, keep that thing rolling, but still go get a quarterback high, maybe let him sit? Like, I'm interested to see how that plays out if he's not, like, excellent and he's just all right.
You're not striving to try to get Mac Jones. Like, you're not striving to get a Pro Bowl alternate.
Exactly.
You're striving to get elite. Like, that's what you're doing. Exactly. Alex Smith was a Pro Bowl quarterback. I thought Show brought this up the other day, and I thought it was a hell of a comparison. Like, Alex Smith made a Pro Bowl with the Kansas City Chiefs, but they drafted Patrick Mahomes. They let him sit, and he figured it out.
Right.
So you're not striving for that. My thing is, though, if we are having this discussion about Davis Mills next year, and he has a Mac Jones type of year, which is starting from beginning to end and at least being one of the top 12 quarterbacks in the league or whatever, that would mean that there was substantial improvement. Like, that would at least mean that he's going up. He's not going down. He's going up if we're even having that discussion. So unless you think Young or Stroud is the next best thing, and those guys could easily flop out, maybe you do just keep going with Davis Mills. Maybe you do draft a guy like a Will Anderson or something like that and continue the process, because if we're even having that discussion, no, that's not the end-all be-all. No, I don't think Mac Jones is ever going to win a Super Bowl playing like he did last year. That's not going to happen. It's just not going to happen.
Right now, I still think that you're, like, deciding whether you go and get C.J. Stroud or Bryce Young if he's available to you at the draft still needs to be independent of Davis Mills. Like, unless he is, like, he's going to have to be better than that for me. Better, way better than Mac Jones for you to just not even consider C.J. Stroud or Bryce Young. Like, the only way you don't do it is if you just legit don't believe in one of those guys, or you like Will Anderson if that's the play. You like him so much better and don't believe in one of those quarterbacks. But it shouldn't be, hey, because we've got Davis Mills, we're not going to draft this other guy. I would much rather they hedge the bet, keep Davis Mills, roll with him for however long you feel like you need to until that next guy is ready. Or if he just straight up outplays that guy and you still will have hedged your bet. Like, maybe that guy's tradable. Maybe Davis Mills plays out for a couple of years and then that guy's finally ready. But I'd much rather hedge the bet and not pass on that other guy if I really believe in him. Not for Davis Mills.
The biggest concern I have for Davis Mills this year is, and the Texans say they need to do this, is the ability to run the ball or lack thereof. Like, if you just look at the top 10 rushing teams in the NFL last year, we'll just look at the top 10. 7 out of 10 made the postseason. Only the Indianapolis Colts, who should have made the playoffs, they completely melted down. Baltimore Ravens, they had an array of injuries, including quarterback. And Cleveland Browns, same thing. They had a quarterback playing with one shoulder. Those are the only three teams that were top 10 in the league in rushing that didn't make the postseason. Only those.
Well, and when your quarterback is good and not elite, which I think is what we're talking about with Davis Mills right now, like, he's got a lot to show to be in that elite category. If he's good and not elite, you need a running game.
And exactly. And I think the top rushing team in the NFL last year is a prime example, the Philadelphia Eagles.
There you go.
I mean, the Philadelphia Eagles made the postseason last year because they were able to run the ball. Texans can say they want to run the ball. They don't pay enough attention to the running back position to convince me that they're going to be able to do that effectively.
Hey.
And that's my biggest concern. And I'm going to keep saying this until the cows come home. Like, they do not take the running back position serious enough to be able to run the ball at the level that you need to get the most out of your quarterback. You just talked about, like, you don't have an elite quarterback, so you need to run the ball. Let me just look at some of these top 10 teams. Philadelphia, they were first in the league in rushing. Tennessee was fifth. They didn't even have Derrick Henry, and they were still running the ball. Jimmy Garoppolo.
There you go.
They were right there. And then the New England Patriots with Mac Jones. They were right there.
It's so necessity.
If you're going to max out like a quarterback like Davis Mills and the caliber he's at, you got to be able to run the ball. And if you don't have – if you don't pay attention to the running back position and you're trying to roll the dice with Rex Burkhead and a guy coming off a torn Achilles that was the third best back on his team – I don't know that you're putting him in the best position to succeed. I hope eventually they take it serious. And hell, I hope I'm wrong. I hope I'm proven wrong. But I just look at the running back position, and I think there's this like assumption that, oh, it starts up front. Sure, it starts up front, but you also got to take the running back position serious. All these teams did, and all these teams, there's a reason that they were in the top 10. There's a reason that 7 out of the 10 made the playoffs, including the Philadelphia Eagles, who were in a similar situation with Jalen Hurts last year as the Texans are with Davis Mills in 2022.
It's wild enough, Landry and Figgy, that Rex Burkhead ended up becoming their best running back on the team. But notice how toward the end of the season, like once they kind of established him as the guy, as weird as that is, I know, as weird as it is that Rex Burkhead was the guy, like Davis Mills also got better. Like I know that was had to do with timing and development and all of that. But once his running game got a little bit more consistent, you saw a little bit better of a Davis Mills. Like, I think those things aren't a coincidence. But did you see Drew Doherty's question and answering with some fans when they asked him about who's going to be the starting running back? And I know it's Drew got to be diplomatic on the team website.
Let me guess, he said Burkhead?
He named everybody. Like, his final sentence. He gives you the reason why everybody, right?
Oh, God.
And then at the end, he goes, at various points throughout the year, depending on who's hot or the defensive matchup, I could see each of them getting starts.
It's not good enough to be a committee. Like, these guys aren't right. Good. Like, you can have a running back committee, but this is not good enough. This is not a good enough array of running backs to be a committee.
And I'm pointing that out because I think that Drew is spot on there. Like, unfortunately.
No, he's right.
Yeah.
But
that's not good.
It's not good enough.
It's not good.
And it's not putting Davis Mills in position to succeed. A lot of encouraging words from Chris Sims. They're going to have to run the ball. New England was top 10 last year with Mac Jones. Tennessee, even without Derrick Henry, was up there. And the Philadelphia Eagles were number one in the league. I'm concerned about this running back group. That could be the weakness of this team, and it could be a very, very, very big problem for Davis Mills. Coming up, college football versus pro football. College football is at the top of the headline page. Is it gaining ground on the NFL? We'll discuss the pros and cons next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.